Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to read verses 4 through 9 together. Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9. We'll read the passage responsively, then I'll pray, and then the choir is going to come and do a special this morning, and then I'll come back and preach. And I want you to listen to me in a special way this morning. Isaiah chapter 50, we're going to read verses 4 through 9, and we'll read this passage responsively. Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 9. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you. Lord, I've never asked you to preach a great sermon. I'm not sure I could. But you've given us truth that is great truth. I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to be able to work with the Holy Spirit, me as I speak and our people as they listen. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in our lives today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here in Isaiah 50, and if you'll be still and listen today, I really do want to help you. If you don't need the sermon today, hang on. You'll need it soon. It's a truth that will permeate everyone. Brother Barnes, can you give me just a hair more volume? I believe the humidity's up and the attention is down. And my voice is just a little bit not as strong as normal. Have you ever been to that part of life where the problem or the problems of life seem overwhelming? Have you ever had your heart broken so much that you felt like you just couldn't find any help? Have you ever felt so alone that it was like being marooned on an island by yourself with all of your problems? Do you ever feel like nobody really understands what you're going through, what you're feeling? Here in Isaiah chapter 50, very interesting passage. Please look at me. Let me explain it to you. And I'm going to use scripture to back what I'm going to say. But Isaiah 50 was written to a child whose parents divorced. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 1 says, "Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement?" Well, your mother's divorcement, that means it's to a child of someone whose parents divorced. Now, listen to me very carefully. You talk about lonely and hurting. The child or children involved in divorce situations probably suffer more than the two that are divorcing. You say, why? Because they're a product of two people that were supposed to love each other. That child loves both, and now you have both parents pulling both directions trying to figure out who you love more. It's not fair. It's not right. It happens. And by the way, I don't think that, just let me say this, divorced people aren't trash that should be thrown out in society. I'm for helping them. But if you're married, stay married. I don't believe in just letting it all happen and, well, if this one doesn't work out, we'll go find another. It's not shopping for a used car. Amen. It's marriage. But divorce is hard, but it's probably hardest on the children in the situation. They're asked to divide their love amongst people they're supposed to love equally. And it's hard, especially when you're, and I don't mean this in an unkind way to anybody, but when you're a child, you don't have the maturity to understand what that really means. And it makes it that much more difficult. Everyone faces hurt in life. But I want you to realize this passage was written in reference to someone who had gone through the divorce of parents, and God was helping them through this. Now, let me make a statement here. Everyone faces problems. Everyone faces death and mourning over death. I don't care who you are, saved or lost, you're going to face death in your family and amongst your friends. You're going to face mourning someone's death. Just this last Thursday was the one-year anniversary of Brother Ray Craig going to heaven. Killed in a trucking accident up in Pennsylvania. Just what a tragedy. And I was very proud of Rhonda. They celebrated it as his first birthday in heaven. She and I talked last week, and she said, "Preacher, how do I face this?" And I said, "Don't remember his death, remember his life. It's not a matter of his death, it's a matter of his life." And they had a birthday party and a birthday cake, and they did all kinds of things. And you say, "Oh, but they enjoyed the memories." That's what it's about. To grieve unusually over the actual loss, it's not going to change anything. Now, I'm for grieving. Don't get me wrong. I think we ought to miss people. This Wednesday, it'll be 37 years my grandfather passed away. I'll call my grandmother on Wednesday, and we'll talk about Grandpa. You say, why? She's been a widow for 37 years. And I remember the date so well because it was the day right after my 13th birthday. Celebrated my 13th birthday, and my grandfather died the next day. And it was a bit tragic. Now, everybody faces those things. Let me say this. You can't prevent all problems in life. You can't. No matter how hard you work, you're not going to prevent them. You can't prevent all the lonely times in life. Because every one of us are sinners. Every one of us are going to face these things. Folks, just realize we're all going through it together. These are all part of the sowing and reaping process of sin. Now, listen to me very carefully. You'll hear me from time to time use some terminology. We've allowed some bad doctrine to infiltrate churches in Christianity, especially Baptist churches. I use the term Calvinism. There's a little bit of that that's crept into our society of Baptists today, and I rebel at it. I don't believe that everything that's bad that happens in your life is God judging you for something. Brother Stoltz was not feeling well a couple weeks ago. He had a touch of vertigo. Actually, he touched something else too long and drank it. No, but it, just a touch of vertigo. I don't believe God was judging Brother Stoltz for being a dirty, wicked, rotten, vile sinner. You just look in the mirror, you already know he is, all right? God judged us because of it, because of his ugly face. Now, wait a minute. I don't believe just because you face a difficulty in life that God's judging you for your sin. Matter of fact, that is as unscriptural as it comes. Because your sin is not going to be judged if you're saved. Amen. You will sow and reap from it. But God's not going to judge you for it.
That's right. Amen.
Now, I'm going to make a statement here. He may chasten you for it. But God's justice, now listen to this. If Brother Stoltz is doing something wrong, God's not going to take one of his children and hurt them, harm them, allow them to go to heaven because it's his fault. If my daughter is doing wrong, I'm not supposed to go to somebody else and destroy somebody else that she likes just to get her attention. Amen. What kind of God is that? That's a man-made God. That's how a man thinks, not how God thinks. See, that's not just for God to punish somebody else or to take somebody else just to get your rotten attention. This is much the same as good works doesn't save you. Did you know there's no definable list of what good works and how many of what you have to do to get saved? Matter of fact, God says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. There is not a list printed somewhere that says you have to do this so many times, and you have to do this so much, and you have to do this so much. Hopefully the good outweighs the bad. That's not just. Amen. Now listen to this statement. You say, why? Because we're all sinners, and even our good works couldn't be good enough. That's why Jesus had to live our righteousness for us. And when we get saved, he steps on the scale and God puts Jesus' righteousness, stand up here, on my account. Amen. And that overbalances the scale to where it tips into my favor. But it's not because of my goodness, it's because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why you doing your own good works, thank you, you can sit down, Jesus. That's why your own good works cannot get you to heaven. Amen. But watch this. That's why God imputes the righteousness of Christ to our account. He steps on the scale and we win. You don't get to heaven just because you got forgiven. You got to have righteousness. Amen. Yes, sir. So once you get forgiven, God adds the righteousness so that the justice can be meted out. Yes, sir. That's what it's all about. Now, now listen to this real carefully. God's will was not for man to sin. God did not want man to sin. I don't believe God made man and said, okay, I'll wait for you to sin. No, God told us he didn't want us to. But God also did not make us robots and force us to obey him. You know, God doesn't turn you into a robot and make you do anything. God has never come down to this earth and forced you to do anything. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you go to hell, it's against God's will. Oh, why would a loving God send anybody to hell? He doesn't. You choose to go there. Everybody doing all right? God does not sit at a big control board in heaven dictating every event of life. This is where Baptists get messed up. Well, I got a flat tire yesterday. God must have wanted me to have a flat tire. I don't think God wanted you to have a flat tire. You ran over a nail. God didn't throw that nail from heaven underneath your tire and your tire only yesterday. We get this idea, pardon me, I'm going to go back to my TV days, that God's like the Wizard of Oz, sitting behind a big board, you know, blowing smoke and everything, controlling everything at a control panel. It doesn't work that way. Everybody doing okay? Just like we have a plan for Grace Baptist Church to work. Good night. It takes more than just one person to make this happen. It takes Sunday school teachers, nursery workers. It takes folks to drive the bus, folks to lead the bus route and visit the bus route and get the kids lined up. It takes somebody to make sure the bus is fueled and make sure the oil's topped off and do the safety report on it. And it takes folks to pick the music out and to practice the music and to play the music. And I could go on and on and on. You don't realize how much goes into one church service around here. You know, I don't do it all myself, but I make sure it all gets done. You know, I didn't pick out which song the choir sang this morning, but Brother Stoltz and I met a long time ago, and I picked out a whole list of songs and said, let's start with these. Once we get through that, come back, we'll pick some more. Do you know that I don't choose what Sunday we sing what songs, but good night, 4+ years ago, I went through the song book, and I picked out about 3 or 4 months' worth of songs, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night songs. I picked out first song, second song, third song of every one of those, and we just keep rotating them every 3 or 4 months. They fall where they fall. Now, I picked from a big list. We'll have our service next week. I asked Brother Stoltz. I gave him about 6 songs to choose from. I said, we're going to sing 2 congregationals. Can you pick from this list? I let him decide. You say, why? Because he's got to play the git fiddle and lead the songs at the same time. Now, I could have said, Brother Stoltz, we're doing this song and this song. That's it. Too bad, so sad. But I need something that's going to be easy enough for him and not add pressure to him. I'm not dictating everything that happens, but I'm touching everything that happens. Do you know that I didn't go to Brother Barnes and sit down and tell him every word to say in his Sunday school class this morning? I didn't sit down with Brother June and tell him every word to say in his Sunday school class this morning. I didn't sit down with my wife and tell her what to say in her Sunday school class this morning. I didn't tell my daughter, she's now teaching 1st through 3rd grade. I didn't tell her exactly what she was supposed to say this morning. I give them an outline that they can study from, apply it to their Sunday school class, and go from there. I didn't dictate every word he was to say this morning. That's how God runs the world. He has a general plan for us, but just because something went wonky, quit blaming God on it. Now, this is how God works things. Now, I believe God has a specific plan for everybody's life. That doesn't mean that just because you took a wrong step that it's God's fault. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. God knew 15 years ago I'd buy the house I bought. That doesn't mean that's... My wife and I in the next 5-10 years will probably sell that thing, go move somewhere else so I don't have to walk up and down steps all the time. Dumbest thing in the world. Why in the world does anybody ever make a house to where it's called a split level and wherever you go, you got to either go up or go down? Either make a second floor or bottom floor, but man, you got to go up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down everywhere you go. And the older I get and the worse shape I get in, not her, I'm sure it's going to get to be a pain. So let's get her fixed up. I don't believe God picked my address out 6,000 years ago and said, you're going to live in that house for that length of time, and that's what my will is, and that's it. I believe God's, when I needed a house, it was one that fit in our budget, and God turned it into his will because we've been living there for 15 years now. That doesn't mean that's the last house I'll ever buy, and I'm going to be out of God's will if I buy a different house. Everybody doing okay? But I will pray and ask God for his will to help me find the right one when it's time to buy another one. Say why? Because I don't want to overextend. Now, everybody doing okay? Here we go. God never promised to never have you face a problem. God never promised to have you never face a grief. God never promised that you would not face heartache. God never one time said that you'll never face those things. Huh. Say why? Because he allows you to have a will. Because you've been allowed to have a will, you're a sinner. Because you're a sinner, you're going to have problems. Well, God could have prevented it, then he wouldn't be just. Because if he prevents it for you and not somebody else, God has to prevent all problems, all sin, all heartache, all grief, if that's the case. God didn't say he would keep you from problems. But I want to show you something today that when I read it, I just about had a spell. Isaiah chapter 50, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, for the Lord God will... help me. Look at verse number 9. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Did you know God said He'll help you? He didn't say He would keep you from those things, but He did say, Brother Neil, I'll help you. I don't know about you, Brother Mike. That's enough to make me want to shout. I might not be kept from problems, Brother June, but God's going to help me.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
God might not keep you from the problem, but He promised He'd help you.
Yes, sir.
Remember, this was written to a child of divorced parents. Hurting, lonely, heartbreak, torn. God said, I'll help you. I'll help you. Now, listen to me very carefully. He will help us. God tells us that He'll help us. I want to look and see that, show you how God will help you in those times. God gave us the outline. Very simple. It's in Isaiah 50. Let me show you how God helps you. Notice He didn't say He'd help you out of it. He said He would just help you. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4. First thing God says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Look at me. God helps us by teaching us to speak right when we're hurting.
Yes.
When we're under derision, depressed, heartache. God said, I will teach you to speak right while you hurt.
Yes.
Can I tell you? Listen to me very carefully. I deal a lot with hurting people. I deal a lot with people that are going through tremendous pressure and pain. Do you know they're kind of like an animal that's been hurt? A couple weeks ago, I was doing something. I was messing with the dog at the house there, and I did something, and she let out a yip. I must have hurt her leg or something, and boy, she cowered, and she just looked at me. My wife said, oh, you hurt her? Hey, get over it. Good night. It's a dog. I went over and petted it. I'm sorry. She's looking at me, you know. Oh, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? When we're hurting, we need help with our tongue. You're more apt to fire back when you're hurting, not realize you are. You're more apt to lash out because of the pain you're in than any other time. Good night. Miss Wally, I love medical people, but sometimes they don't have much sense. You got a kidney stone. You're throwing your guts up. You know you got a kidney stone because this is number 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever. And they look at you and say, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level? 20! It doesn't go to 20. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is it? I said, 20! And this little twink looked at me and said, it doesn't go that high. And the doctor looked at him and said, just put 10 down. He's in pain. Let's get him some help. No sense at all. I mean, let's face it. You know, when somebody's hurting that bad, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right? A lady's having a baby. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is it? 3,000. All right? 3,000. It's unbearable. You don't have to put it on a little scale. Everybody doing all right? We need help with our tongue when we're hurting. So many times we're under a pressure. We're under a problem. And the first thing we do, somebody says something to you, and you, bam, we lash out at them. You know, ladies, you know what I'm talking about. When your husband stubbed his toe. And he thinks he's going to die. And he's mad because he stubbed his toe. He's going to lash out at everybody. You know, fellas, just because you got the flu doesn't mean you're going to die. Get over it. you don't get a ribbon because you survived the flu. Now, wait a minute. Sure enough, I'm going to eat the flu this week. You wait and see. I hope not. We need to realize that we're not supposed to react like a hurt animal when we're hurt, physically or emotionally, or even with the pressures of work. Some of us, we can allow the work pressure to get to us, and we act like a tyrant. You know, just because you had a bad day at work doesn't mean everybody else in the house has got to suffer for it. God said he will help us if we'll yield to his word and his Holy Spirit and help us by allowing the Holy Spirit to help us with our tongue. Let me ask you a question. Before you lash out at somebody, did you say, Holy Spirit of God, will you help me guide my tongue so I say the right thing? Or did you just say what you had in your head? Ouch. That one really hurt, didn't it? Amen, preacher. Good preaching. Learned people are the leaders who don't tell their problems. They help others. Yes. You know, President Trump doesn't go around the world telling everybody what our problems are. The press does. Yes, right. But the president doesn't. He was in Saudi Arabia the other day. I had to laugh. $106 billion deal he made for the United States. Amen. Just in one country. He's getting ready to make a couple hundred billion more today in deals. He's going to come back with probably $500 billion worth of business for America. Amen. How are we going to pay for the wall? You're learning real fast. Yep. Now, wait a minute. Oh, the liberals are out there. Do you think that he's going to be sane enough? He's never been on a world tour. We wonder if he'll be tired and jet-lagged so much that he won't be able to reason well. The people that are sick and insane are the people in the press.
Amen. That's right.
Just so you know. I love what he said to the cadets the other day. He said, just put your head down, keep working. Don't worry about what they say.
Amen.
Don't listen to what they say. Just keep doing what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
I love how he's not allowing it to faze him too much. Now, do I agree with everything he says or does? No. But I do respect him right now.
Amen.
He's taking more heat than most people could take.
Yep.
Due season. That means at the appropriate time, the appropriate way. God said, when you're going through the pressure, when you're under attack, when your heart is broken, I will help you by being able to speak to someone else in due season. In season. Folks, do you know there's sometimes it's better for you to shut your mouth than it is to say what you're thinking?
Yes, sir.
God knows I shouldn't say everything I think. God knows I have things up in here I shouldn't say because it wouldn't be appropriate. I don't always listen, but I try. When you're in the heat of battle and you're ready to, this is what's not appropriate. Well, you're acting just like your mother. Okay, that wasn't wise. You're just like your father. Okay, that really did a lot of good, didn't it? Is all you did is, as I said last week, poke the bear.
Yep.
Wait a minute. Sometimes wisdom is knowing what to say and when to say it.
Amen.
Fellas, you come home and your wife has had a bad day. She's had to beat the kids. Dishwasher broke. The washing machine vomited all the clothes out on the floor. And she's not feeling good. That's not time to come home and say, hey, how about we go do this and let's go on a 20-mile walk. That's not what she wants right then. Just because you might want it doesn't mean she does. Learning to look ahead and say, that's probably not a good time to say that. Let's wait till she's had a little better day before we do that one. Well, I was thinking about it. Yeah, you might be thinking about it, but don't think real long because she's going to change your thinker real fast. sometimes it's not a matter of that it was a wrong thing. It was wrong timing. My wife will, if I've had a bad day or something, I've had a tough day, a heavy day, she'll say, honey, in the next couple days, can we schedule a time to talk about thus and so? And sometimes it's, yeah, but not today. Sometimes it's, go ahead, I'm doing okay. You got to realize something. In the life of a preacher, there's hardly ever a day where I don't get bad news. I mean, bad news. Cancers. Deaths. Somebody breaking somebody's heart. Somebody breaking up. Somebody's, been in an accident. Somebody's lost their life. You name it, I get it virtually every day of my life. I mean, it's just nonstop. Now, listen to me very carefully. We don't need to talk about our hurts with everybody who can't do something about it. If everybody look at me for a second here. If I have a heartache and I go to April and I say, April, I just need to unload. I'm her pastor. If I've just unloaded the truck on her of all my heartache and grief, who does she have to go to if she has a problem? Here's what I hear. Well, I don't want to burden the preacher. Come burden the preacher. He can handle it. He's not going to tell you what he needs. I can carry a pretty heavy load. Well, I don't want to bother you. You bother me when you don't bother me. The problem gets worse because you try to fix it yourself. Let me help you. Well, you got enough to do. That's what I get paid to do. It's what I love to do, and it's what I've been doing for the last almost 30 years of my life. But if I come to you and start unloading all of my problems on you, you're not going to look at me and say, well, I can go to him with problems. I love Brother Mike. He's one of our men on our board. You know, I don't go to the men on the board and tell them all my problems. I've got to be there as their pastor. I've got to be there to help them. I've got to be able to help them when they have a need. Now, if I got a mechanical problem or an excavation problem, I'm going to call him and say, hey, can you help us with this? I need some advice here. But that's not something... It's not just because my daughter's home and I got more food to buy and I need more money. I need to call you, Brother Mike, and I need your help. Now, I'm sure if I did, Brother Mike could help me. Man, you want to see that girl? No. wait a minute. But I'm not going to go to you and tell you what all my personal problems are. Say, why? Don't you think you could trust us? You don't need me to bring my problems to you. You need me to help you carry your problems. Did you ever notice I don't bring the problems to the pulpit? You've never seen me down. Now, there's times I'm not feeling real well. I preach for a month with double pneumonia. I haven't always felt well, but I've been on topside. I may have come to the pulpit talking like this all the way through everything except the preaching. All of a sudden it came back, and as soon as I said amen, it went back out. Y'all remember those days? Say, what is that? God. Brother, I know exactly how you feel. He said, man, I didn't feel like going soul winning yesterday, but I did. Man, I feel that way just about every day. Man, I was tired. Now, wait a minute. We don't need to talk about our hurts with people that can't do anything about it. That's one of the dangers of Facebook and social media. Everybody knows every ailment, every toenail, every fingernail that needs filed, and every problem of life. And it's all you do is vomit everything that you're thinking onto a computer screen for the whole world to read. Well, folks, if I throw up, it's not your job to come clean it up and pity me while I did it. Everybody doing okay? If I'm sick, pray for me. Yeah. But I'm probably not going to tell you if I'm sick. I'll get mad at you if you don't tell me. But I'm not here. That kind of thing. Right, Miss Wally? And you're not supposed to pick up 40 pounds of bags of birdseed either and destroy your foot. Ouch. You know, sitting in church in the little corners and talking about everybody else's problems, that's not what God wants. Well, did you know that so-and-so did this? Just keep your big mouth shut. Who cares? Everybody doing all right? Talking about your children, your grown children, and how bad they are and what they're doing that's wrong. Did you know that nobody here can fix it? Why tell them? And if you want somebody to reach them, come see me, and we'll get somebody to go reach them. But past that, quit trashing your kids to everybody else. Quit gossiping about your grown kids. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. That's like employees getting together talking bad about the boss or the supervisor. Lord have mercy. Any of you men that work in a shop or that type of atmosphere know what I'm talking about. Isn't it amazing? The guy that doesn't know anything knows how to run the company. Guy's never run a hot dog stand in his life, but he knows how to run that company. So God helps us by teaching us to speak appropriately, speak the right way at the right times with the right attitude. Number two, I love this. Number two, God tells us he'll help us hear better. Huh? Look at verse number four. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. We need to be careful when we're hurting. We need to be careful when we're grieving. We need to be careful when our heart is broken that we quit listening, thinking everybody's talking about us. Ouch. Can I tell you something? When you're hurting, you take everything more personal.
Yes.
I love you. I want to help you. But I have people that think I preach against them from behind this pulpit because they're going through something. Sometimes I don't even know you're going through it. But I was preaching about you. No, I wasn't. That was the Holy Spirit of God. I don't sit in my office or work on sermons thinking, oh, I'm going to get Jesse. I know what Jesse's problem is. It's Malachi. No. Actually, Malachi's problem is... anyway. Now, wait a minute. I don't sit in my office thinking, well, I know what Brother Stoltz needs. I'm going to throw that right in here. Get rich, Stoltz. That's how some people listen to sermons, just so you know. That's not how they're prepared. We need to be careful not to read into what we think we hear in these times. Everybody look at me for a second. You're not as good at listening as you think you are. None of us are. I'm probably better than average because of the amount of people I deal with, but I can misread things. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me, when you're hurt, when you're grieving, when your heart's broken, when it seems like you're lonely and everything's going the wrong way, you're depressed, you don't hear things right. Don't make decisions based on what you think you hear. Most people have no idea what you're going through. I've said this before. Some of you ladies have lost babies. God, for some reason, allowed that child not to totally form. Doesn't matter. It happened. And I've gone through with people that have lost loved ones. And I've told them this. There's going to be people say things that are going to hurt you. They didn't mean to. Don't listen to what they said. Just be appreciative that they tried to say something. I think I told both of you that. Say why? Because people don't really know how to say things appropriately sometimes. And they could say things that hurt you. They don't intend to hurt you, but it hurt you. Don't look at what they said. Just accept the fact that they said something and let what they said go foo between the ears. You do that anyway real well.
you ladies that have had babies, you know what I'm talking about. Every mother in the world has their little fix before you had that critter. Oh, you're getting along. You need to take castor oil. Lord have mercy. You got to ride on a car in a bumpy road. That'll make that baby come. Throw her in the back of the truck and bounce her up and down the mountain, I guess. I don't know. Now, wait a minute. You've heard all those things, and you're thinking, why doesn't everybody just leave me alone and let this thing happen as it's supposed to? Everybody's got their opinion, and you think they're after you. You know, you got the sniffles, so you got to drink 3 gallons of cod liver oil and 2 bottles of castor oil to get rid of the sniffles. You say, does that help the sniffles? No, but you'll be afraid to sniffle. That's for sure. You won't even cough. Now, wait a minute. You just got to realize, just because you hear something that way doesn't mean they're trying to attack you. There's going to be people that you've lost a baby and they're not going to know how to say something, and it's actually going to hurt. Can I tell you something? Don't look at what they say. Just look at the fact they tried to say something.
Yes.
Learn to hear the right way. People in physical pain want to... Did you ever notice? Well, we need the Bible to guide us in these times to listen right. We need the Holy Spirit. Did you ever notice when somebody's in pain, they don't listen real well? Miss Wally, you know what I'm talking about. April, you do too. Somebody's in pain and they're supposed to be, you know, they may have broken a bone or cracked their back or something. They want to get up and move. That's the worst thing in the world. Lay down, be still. Let us get this thing stabilized. No, I've got to get... No, lay down, be still. Somebody's having a heart attack or something, man. They don't want to lay down and be still. It's hurting too bad to be still.
Right.
You're going through a kidney stone. You don't want to lay down and be still. But sometimes you have to. Say, why? Because that's how you get help. You don't want to listen. That's why God said that I'll not listen with a rebellious ear. In verse number 5 there, I believe it is. I was not rebellious. I'm not going to listen in rebellion. Somebody that rebels, hears what is said and decides to go a different direction. A rebel isn't somebody that doesn't understand. A rebel is somebody that knows what's right and chooses to go to do what's wrong. That's rebellion. God wants us to listen His way and not our own rebellious way. Listen with His mind, not your mind.
Yes, sir.
Listen with His ears, not your ears. Well, as I see it, preacher, I heard. Okay, but what were we supposed to listen to? Don't listen to people as you would treat them. Listen to how God would treat them. Number 3, I must hurry. I love this. Get your Bible, Isaiah 50 again. I want you to see this. This is going... Whew. God helps us set our face like a flint when we hurt. Look at verse number 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded or confused... Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Look at me. Do you know what that word set means? It literally is the word disguise. Malachi, take your disguise off. Oh, that's real? I didn't think they made anything like that. A disguise means you're hiding what is normally there. Watch me. God said, I'll help you hide what is there. If Brother Stoltz put on a disguise, if he put Alvin the Chipmunk face on, he's hiding who he is. We would see what's on the outside and not what's on the inside. And what would be on the outside would be much better. Now, wait a minute. Look at me for a second. Let me Let me put it in terminology we understand. There's times you got to fake it. God's going to help you plaster a smile on when you don't feel like smiling. God said, I will set your face like a flint. I'm going to take that hurt and that pain and that grief and that agony, and I want you to set your face, walk out there with a smile on your face, wash the tears out of your eyes, walk in, here I am. Have a seat, Brother Stoltz. Say, how do you do it, preacher? Fake it till I make it. Well, you're a hypocrite. You're a phony. No, I'm doing what God said. By the way, God said if you do that, you won't be ashamed. Yes. Too many people walk around, you know when they're having problems. Lord have mercy. Okay, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that person's not doing real well.
Right.
Now, I understand pain can cause some contortions of the face. I've blown two discs in the back. I know what that feels like. I've got a hip that's square peg in a round hole. And when I got up at 20 after 4 this morning, it didn't want to work right. I understand those things. But can I tell you something? Please don't take this the wrong way. You don't care if my hip hurts or not. I'm here. Oh, I care. A little. But if I came in, oh, you pray for me today. My hip is so bad. I'm not sure. I might have to sit in it. Now, it may come to the day where I got to sit in the chair to preach. Who gives a flip? I'm going to be here with a smile on my face.
Man.
They got to roll me in with a wheelchair. If I got to crawl in with crutches, or if they got to cut a hole in my side and put a new one in, I don't give a flip. I'm going to keep on going.
Yes, sir.
I don't plan to retire. I plan to retread.
Yes, sir.
Amen? I plan to die in the saddle. Preaching from behind the pulpit. I hope I don't keel over in the middle of the pulpit, but if I do, just push me out of the way and keep on going. You say, why? Because I plan on going, setting my face like a flint, as God said. Sometimes when you're hurting that bad, you got to put that smile on and fake it.
Yes.
Remember, he's talking to a child of divorced parents. There's times you're being pulled from one to the other, and you just got to smile and take it. You want to agree with both, but if you agree with both, you disagree with both. You're in a hard spot. God said, fake it until you make it. God says that he will help us not walk around like the Pharisee. See, people that will accuse you of that being a Pharisee, well, you hypocrite, you Pharisee. You really didn't feel that way. Okay, if I told you how I really felt, how would you follow me? Fellas, sometimes your wife's not going to tell you how she feels. Be glad. Quit poking at it. If she doesn't want to tell you, she doesn't want to tell you, it's all right. Don't worry about it. Well, what's she hiding? Probably something you really don't want to know about. Why do we have to know everything? Why do we think we have this God complex where we got to know it all so we can fix it all? Even if you knew, you could not fix that.
That's right.
The Pharisees are the ones that went around, oh, I'm fasting. Oh, I'm fasting. If you're fasting, nobody needs to know. That doesn't mean you don't tell your husband or your wife, but you don't go around bragging about it. The purpose is between you and God, not between you and everybody else, and let the whole world know you're fasting. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Going around to get attention by suffering is a little different. It's like my son. We were driving to Kentucky last week to go get my daughter, and my son Jeff smashed his foot at work and been on crutches for a week. My wife texted my other son in Florida and said, hey, pray for Jeff. May have broken his foot and he's at the hospital, smashed it at work. And my son Josh texts back and says, hey, Maybe Jeff can use his boo-boo to get a wife. I was dying.
I almost had to pull the car off the side of the road. I was laughing so hard. You say, what is it? That's called being a Pharisee. I was dying. Brother June, I couldn't help it. I was belly laughing. I said, oh, you gotta tell Jeff that. That is too good to waste. You say, why? Because that's how a man thinks. I can use this to get somebody's attention. Oh, wait a minute. God will help you wash your face, dry your eyes, put the smile on, no matter how bad it hurts. He doesn't promise to keep the problem away. But he did say, I'll teach you how to speak, I'll teach you how to listen, and I can help you set your face, disguise the pain that you're going through so that you can get through it. He promises to help you disguise that you're under pressure.
Man, I have been under pressure so many times, I'm not sure what it's like not to have pressure. I remember one time I was principal in a Christian school, and there was parents being investigated because their child was paddled at school. At that time, I had the parents come in and paddle them in my office. Somebody called DHHR. Not only were the parents being investigated, but I was being investigated because, number one, I allowed it to happen in my office, and number two, because of being a Christian school principal, I was a mandatory reporter, and I was facing jail time on both. Can I tell you, I was feeling a little pressure.
Say, what'd you do?
Went back to work. Did I feel like it? No. But I didn't let my staff didn't know. I did tell my wife after several days. She didn't know for days. I ended up having to have a lawyer help me. Got done. Did not know this. But when we were done, I found out from the DHHR agent that that case went before the State Board of Education and kept the door open for corporal punishment in West Virginia schools. A DHHR agent, and you know they're not our stripe of people, he said, this is the grossest misjustice I've ever seen in my life of an accusation. This child was not abused. This child was, everything was done right. It's been documented. And this is a done case. It went that fast. But can I tell you, I felt a lot of pressure for a while. Wait a minute. God says he'll teach your tongue to speak right. He'll teach your ear to hear right. And he'll teach you how to disguise. He'll help you disguise your face so that you're not showing everybody the pressure you're under. There's a story in Genesis 21. We won't turn there. Hagar and Ishmael were born of Abraham. Abraham was not supposed to have the relationship with Hagar to have a child with her. Isaac was born from Sarah. Now listen to me. When Isaac was born, Abraham kicked out Hagar and Ishmael. We read the story wrong. Ishmael was 17 to 18 years old. He wasn't a little tyke. The Bible says in Genesis 21 that God heard the cry of the child, the lad. God heard the cry of Ishmael. Say why? Because his dad kicked his mom and him out of the house. Lost everything. But God heard the cry of Ishmael. By the way, Ishmael became a very violent, angry young man. He's the father of the Muslims. God never promised to keep you from problems. Matter of fact,
Look what Jesus went through. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
The very people that you look at in Scripture, that you look up to, every one of them went through problems with God's help. God didn't keep them from the problems. God didn't keep them from the pain. God didn't keep them from the divorce. But he said, I'll go through it with you. I'll help you. I'll help you learn how to speak the right way. I'll help you learn how to listen the right way. And I'll teach you how to disguise it so that you don't have to walk around, you really hate me. I'm going to go eat worms. Oh, it's just so bad. Yes, it hurts. But can I tell you something? You can hurt and sit there and have a pity party, or you can hurt and keep doing something.
Yes.
I learned a long time ago, I'd rather be doing something than just sitting there doing nothing.
Right.
Wallowing in my own pain doesn't do me much good. If I can get out and help somebody else, I'll start feeling better. That's what God says he'll help us with. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. How bad's the hurt? How bad's the pain? Are you going through it by yourself, or are you going to let God help you? God's help isn't that he takes the problem away. He'll teach your tongue, he'll teach your ear, and he'll teach your face.